Love Talk Radio.
Bye.
Oh, Lord,
the beginning, everything was from the Lord. The Spirit is pouring, covering the water. Everything was created upon His command. He is the Father of all creation. In the beginning, everything was from the Lord. The Spirit is God, covering the water. Everything was created upon His command. He is the Father of all creation.
Father, we just thank you. We praise you, O God, and we glorify your name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad because the great God, the great I Am, the sovereign God, has given us life one more day. He allowed us to be in the land of the living. Hell, yes, 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 yes. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has given us the right to call Him Father this morning. We just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for releasing your Holy Spirit to come and dwell in our midst this morning and just soothe us where we need to be soothed. Touch us where we need to be touched. Lord, we just bless you this morning. We honor you this morning. Holy Spirit of the living God, we ask you to enter in the room this morning. Come in and have your way. We are nothing without you, but Lord, we recognize we can do all things through you as you continue to fill us and cause our cup to overflow. This morning, we want to lift up Brother Vincent, Apostle Washington, Bishop James Washington, son-in-law. We want to lift him up this morning before the throne of glory, and we want to lay him at the foot of the altar of God this morning. Father, we just lift up Brother Vincent right now. And God, we know that you are the healer. You are the God that healeth. Lord, we are just the intercessors, oh God. We stand with a heart of compassion for our brother, Lord, for your son. God, we ask you, mighty God, that you will let that blood that dripped from Calvary that never lost its first estate to drip upon this young man right now, God. Lord, we declare and decree Psalm, oh God, 118:17 over him, that he shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Father God, that he shall recover. Oh, Father God, that he shall begin to receive strength in his lungs, in his bladder, in his pancreas, in his esophagus, Lord God. Oh, mighty God, we see strength coming in, coming out. Lord, we pushing in right this morning, even right now, like the woman with the issue of blood, just to touch the hem of your garment on the behalf of our brother, Lord God. We ask you to heal, oh God, remove the soreness out of his throat, God. Causes all his muscles, oh God, to flex properly, Lord God. Take out the stiffness, God, and cause the blood to flow freely. Lord, we declare and decree, oh God, cause his nostrils to stop dripping. Oh, Father, we declare right now that all the symptoms of this COVID virus will dry up right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for protection. We ask you to protect our brother Bishop James, oh God, and our sister Apostle Linda Washington, protect them, oh God, and sister evangelist, oh God, evangelist, Lord Jesus, Lord, I lost the name, oh God, but you know, Lord Jesus, Sian, yes, Lord, we ask you to stretch them and the grandson, Lord, we ask, oh God, yes, right now, God, Lord, yes, Lord God, that you would protect them from any infection, oh God. Lord, we know, God, that you are the protector, Lord. You are the shield, for your word declare that you are the shield and our buckler, that you are a strong tower, that the righteous run in and they are safe, Lord. So right now, God, we ask you to touch Apostle Jefferson's sister, Lord. God, strengthen her. Oh God, heal her bones, heal her joints, heal her muscles, heal everything about her, Lord God. We ask you, God, to touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God, from the inside of her body to the outside of her body. God, we ask you to clean her up right now. Clean her up, oh God. Yes, Lord, give her strength, God, that she have never experienced before. Give her that supernatural strength, Lord God. And we are so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor this morning because you are worthy, Lord. You are the only one that can do what no one else can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen, 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 amen. This morning we are doing part two of this message that we did on Saturday. Blinded eyes and hardened hearts. Blinded eyes and hardened hearts. The Bible says that men have eyes and cannot see, and they have ears and cannot hear. And it said that the hearts are hardened. Glory to God. They're hardened. What is they hardened from? They're hardened from receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Their hearts are hardened from accepting that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he's the one who died at Calvary, that he's the one that was crucified, that he's the one that was buried, and he's the one that raised again on the third day. You know, the enemy is so conniving and so deceptive, hallelujah, that you have all of these people that the enemy is using in this world that we live in that's supposed to be so educated and have so much money, so much of everything, but the most important thing that they need to have, they don't have. They don't have Jesus, and they are fighting against the Holy Son of God, They don't believe that he came to the earth and that he was crucified. They say it's a figment of the imagination of the Christian or the believers. But we know better because the manuscript said that he died. And we believe what the manuscript said. It's in the scroll. It said that he would come and that he would give his life for the world. And the weight of the word of the world will be upon his shoulder. The weight of the government will be upon his shoulder. It said this in the word. I'm just paraphrasing. But it says this in the book of Isaiah. Glory to God. We got to understand that the world is blinded by the darkness of Satan. It's blinded by the darkness of Satan. Satan is making his darkness look good to the world, and the world is defying everything that says Jesus is Lord. And when you decide to, you want to pray for them, and you want to lift them up, and you want to intercede for them, they tell you they don't need no intercede. I don't need you to tell me about Jesus. I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm not into that Jesus stuff. They tell you to your face. Some of them will be bold and say, man, get up my face. They want to fight with you because you are concerned about their soul, where their soul will end up. Hallelujah. I've had people tell me in the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. I'm in the house of the Lord ministering. And I had people tell me, I don't need you to lay your hands on me because I'm not interested in the Holy Ghost. I don't need the Holy Ghost. They tell me straight to my face. Hallelujah. And I had to say, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they're saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, well, I'm fine. I'm come to the house. I give my tithes. I give my offering. I'm fine. But that's not all. The Bible says you have to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for your remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you need the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. It says we need, all of us need the Holy Ghost. So I'm talking about blinded eyes and hardened hearts. See, a lot of times we are looking, but we don't see. We look and can't see. We listen and we can't hear. That's what Jesus keeps saying all the time. I keep saying, why would he keep saying that? He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Must be that Jesus know that some people listen, but they don't hear. And as much as you telling them day after day after day that they need to repent and they need to give their life completely to Jesus Christ, they just don't believe. They don't hear what you're saying. They listen, but they don't hear. They say, man, I don't need all that stuff. I'm young. I'm 19 years old. I'm 20 years old. I'm 25. I'm 30 years old. I got plenty of time. But if you look at the news, hallelujah, glory to God, I hear your Holy Spirit. If you look at the news, if you listen to the news, if you read the newspaper, I mean, there's not many cities that still have newspaper. You have to read the paper on the computer now. But if you still get the newspaper, drop out your front door, you read the newspaper, you will see how the world is turning, and you will see how many young people are dying before they even get 21. You'll see some don't live to see 18. You will say, well, that's an easy number, but many don't live to see 18 because the world is changing so fast. So if people are thinking that they have so much time to spare, I got news for you. They don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time because the world is moving at the speed of light. People want to go to the supermarket to get some food. They're going to drive 90 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour. I mean, the speed limit is 35 miles in some neighborhoods. They go, whew, 70 miles an hour. Where are you going? And next thing you know, they get collided with some other car, truck, or something, motorcycle, and kill that person that thought that they had time. This is the world. Let's go into the Word. Let's go into the Word. Let's go to the book of Genesis. That's where the light came, in Genesis. In Genesis. And when sin came in, it dimmed out the light. It dimmed out the light. Well, not God's light, but man's light. Because sin cannot dim God's light, but it dimmed man's light. It dimmed man's light in the essence that it did not allow man to see the true light. When sin comes in, man don't see the true light. We only see what we want. What makes us feel good, what tastes good to us, what looks good to us, that's all we see. Because sin comes in and looks so good. Oh, she's so fine. He is fine. Look at the six-pack. Look at his abdominal muscles. Look at his triceps and biceps. Dark enough, you know that once you get dividend, once we get dividend and dabbing in that stuff, we start to fornicate, commit adultery. We start to lie and cheat. You know that we're heading into hell. Because the light can't operate in your life, in our lives, when we are operating in that mindset, doing the things that God has already commanded us not to do. Remember, we told you today that Satan said was talking, and he said to Eve, God knows that if you eat of the fruit, that your eyes will be open, you'll be of God's. See, because he's a liar. He makes it sound so good and look so good. You want to bite that. You want to go in and climb through that window and go to see Sister Jenny. You want to go through that back door and see Mary. Yeah, you know, you want to do everything. Because Satan tell you, man, it's going to be so good to you. You can't see the real. You're not seeing the real thing. You're blinded. And the Bible says here, glory to God. God, when God called Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old. Okay, and God told Abraham to get up from his country. He told Abraham to get up from his country and from his kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, when God bless you, when God makes you great, God is just not making you great for yourself. God is blessing us so that we can be a blessing. I was listening to us. I worshiped song this morning, and the man was saying, he was the Lord. He said, Lord, bless me so that I can bless. I'll be a blessing. He said, Lord, help me so I can help someone else. I said, my God, that is beautiful. He said, lift me up that I can lift up somebody else. I said, Jesus, he sounds good. Some people just want to get lifted up so they can stand up and show off themselves, push their chest up like they arrived. But we only want to get up so we can put somebody else up. We don't want to be like crabs in the bucket. Every time one climb up, the other one pull the other one down. No. The Bible says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We're missing this. We are missing this continuous of blessing each other, blessing people that can't bless us. We are missing this. But here, Abraham is gone. Let's go to chapter 13. He is traveling as God is leading him. It says, now remember, God only told Abraham to take his wife. That's all he told him. Take his wife, Sarah. She was Sarai, and he was Abram. Not Abraham, he was Abram. And he was telling take his wife Abram and get up from his country, the city that he lived in, the town he lived in, the neighborhood he's in, his family members, his father, because why? They were idol worshippers. And God had need for him. God can't use you if you still got Buddha on the wall. God can't use you if you got Confucius still in the box and you're opening that little box and that's your temple that you're worshiping to. God can't use you if you still got Mary on the dressing and got candles and incense around a statue of Mary, worshiping Mother Mary. No, he wants you to worship him alone. So you got to get away from, we got to get away. We got to put away all those stuff. We are still blinded. Let go of the past so that the light can come on in. The past represents darkness. Let it go. So then he goes to chapter 13. Let's give them three verses there because I'm trying to get somewhere. Abraham went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him, see, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now, you see, Abraham wasn't a poor man. A lot of times we hear people say, well, and I've said it several times, Abraham's family was rich. But Abraham gave up his inheritance. He could afford to give up his inheritance because Abraham was already rich. He wasn't a poor man. The Bible tells you so. It said, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hag. Now, Bethel is the place of worship. Bethel is the place where you come to the altar to worship God. That's what Bethel is. It's a place of worship. Glory to God. And we will see it. Listen, listen. Let's go back to chapter 12, verse 8. And he removed from place unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord for worship, and called upon the name of the Lord. There's a place of worship. He built an altar unto the Lord so he can worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right there. Now back to chapter 13. And unto verse 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks. Now, see, Abraham had a softened heart for family. He was a family man. He was a family man. Because God had never told him to take Lot. There's no way in the book I saw it. He never said take Lot. But Abraham was blinded to who Lot really was. He was his brother's son. And I'm surmising, don't hold this to my heart, but I'm surmising in my mind that Lot was going through some hard times. So Abraham said, well, I'm going to go to him. My brother is just really making it. I'm going to take my nephew with me. I'm going to take my nephew with me and have him get on his feet. But not knowing that his nephew had some jealousy in his heart. We got to be careful with some of the people, the apostle, the pastor, bishop, deacon. We have to allow God to open our eyes to see the people that we bring along with us. See where they ask God to show us their heart. I was with my pastor in Virginia. I didn't know him too much because he came from another state and coming to our state. And he got about 18 people and started a church. And the church started to really, really progress. But I took to him and his wife. I called him father. I called him dad, and I called her mom. But I wanted to know his heart. I didn't just want to follow him without knowing who he was. I didn't know he was one of them other pastors that come into town, and all they want to do is get money. You see him go from one car to another car to another car, looking all luxurious. Didn't have a mind for God's people. So I want to know who he was. So I asked God, I said, God, I want to know my pastor. Love me to hear his heartbeat. And I began to hear. I knew how he was thinking. I know what his mindset was. You know? I lost a lot after, because it was taking too long to I want to grow. And it was seemed like it was taking so long because I was working, doing all these little mediocre jobs around the church. I wanted to be ordained. So a lot of people that came out to me was getting ordained. But I think what was happening, the pastor was saying that I still have that heart. And I'm talking about me. I still have that heart like the world. I would say that I was somewhat in the house and out the house at the same time. You know, the people say you got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Well, that's how I was. I was still going to the crack house and coming to church. Getting high and smoking coke and coming to church, singing the choir and praise team. And they knew. Nobody told them. They knew. They were praying for me. They were interceding for me. When I got my breakthrough, man, I started to run like crazy. Running, crying, and I mean, just moaning to God. And they would say, son, let's just let the Holy Ghost do what he's doing. Just let him do what he's doing. They would say that to me. Let's just let him do what he's doing. He's working in you. He's working in you. Let me get a little bit of this. I'm going to have to go for a minute. I'm going to have to run away for a minute soon to drop it. Take some air to work. But here, Lot went with Abraham. Abraham took Lot. Lot had a little bit of flock and some herds in a tent. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for the substance was great. Their substance were great. Both of them had sheep and goats and camels. They had a lot of stuff. So that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham, of Abram's cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwells then in the land. Now, not only is Lot there with his nephew and his wife and his cattlemen and not cattlemen, but now you got to deal with the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Now, Abraham is thinking this thing because he got the heart of God. Like we, some of us sometimes, we have this heart of compassion. We are trying to bend over backwards to help other people. But when it comes to helping us, we can't get no help from the people. You know what I'm talking about, Apostle. You can't get no help from them. You hear what I'm saying? So watch this. Abraham said, now, I got to sell this thing. God know God is with me. God is leading me. And God is not going to bring me out here to leave me alone, leave me empty. So Abraham said, look, let there be no quarrel between my workers and your workers. And between you and I, don't let there be any quarrel between us. So he said to him, he said to them, is not the whole land before thee? He even asked him, look out there. Look out, Lot. Look at the land. Isn't the whole land before us? He said, now, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, even the garden of Eden. Now, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now, Lot see the best of everything. He's not thinking about his uncle. No, all he's thinking about his own welfare. His eyes are closed to his uncle who brought him out. The hardship that he was dealing with. He didn't have enough grass for his animals. Not enough water for his animals. Not a good place to set his tent. But now Abraham got a call from Abraham got a call from God, and God is leading him to a place where he said, I will bring you, and I'm going to make you father of many nations. God's leading Abraham. And God chose to, Abraham chose to take his nephew with him. Abraham chose to take him with him. You hear what I'm saying? But now he's not thinking on Abraham. How many people you know like that? As soon as you say, well, I'm going to bring them down, and I'm going to try to do this to me. I'm going to put my arm around them and hold them up. Guess what? Soon as you start to get some pain, they ain't thinking about holding you up. Soon as you have some need, apostle, they're gone. They're gone. They want to help you. Now they're able to stand on their 2 feet. I know some people like that. You know some people like that too, Pastor. You said something, the Lord dropped it to me last night in my spirit. That blog talk is a place where people get trained. They're coming to grow. Yeah. And we don't put no tithe on them. We don't put no tithe on them once they grow. And God says time for them to go to ministry. We don't say, well, you got to stay home, blog talk, ready. They go. We got folk out there preaching in Texas right now. That church that came on Blog Talk Radio and get ordained. Evangelist Campbell can tell you, got here, got ordained on Blog Talk Radio. And got nice church in Texas right now.
Amen.
Man, you said, come on here and every so often, never ask him for, bless you, woman of God. Never ask him for a donation. And my man, every time I look around, he sent me $500. Every time I look around, $600. Right near me. Never ask him for that. And he said, Apostle, I'm going to go because the Lord is leading me to start a church over here. I said, well, that's all right. That's good. And when he came here, he was just like Deacon Fred, could hardly put two scriptures together, hardly talk. And he got trained here, right here on Blog Talk Radio. No, Lord, lift it up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as though cometh unto Zoar. Then Lot showed him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now see, Lot was blinded. Lot could not see what was going on in the plain, in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was watered. It was a place that was flourishing. He chose that place because it looked good. He was blinded. Couldn't see the reality. Abraham chose him, wherever you take, want to take. I take what you don't take. I take the leftovers. Because see, when God, oh, bless the name of Jesus, when God has you covered, when God is covering you, it doesn't matter. You can take the nothing, the leftovers, and God will multiply. Hallelujah. Listen, the same land that he wanted so much is the very land that he's going to have to run and leave. You know the whole story. And let's work it anyway. So Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly, and seemed sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot can see that. Lot was just looking at all the nice green, the greenery, all the pools of water everywhere. He said, I'm gonna multiply my sheep and my goat and my camels and my donkeys. They're gonna multiply. I'm gonna become even richer than my uncle. You can see him standing in his eyes. All this stuff he's thinking. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. He said, look all around you. Abram, you can hear the Lord saying, my son, look around you. Take a look around you. Hallelujah. Take a look around you, my son. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar. Everywhere Abraham go, he built an altar. Everywhere he go, he's building altars for God. See, the key is to see enough to know that your heart has to be softened onto the Lord. Has to be open for the Lord to move through you, to use us. We're just thinking about ourselves. Well, you know, I got my cat like it's getting old. It's paid off. I need to get a new one. What do I need a new one for? Well, this one is working fine. You understand? That's all we think. We think, well, you know, I've been in this house for so long. I need to get another house. All of this stuff is going on. God is saying, no, right where you are, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to take care of you. Tell Abraham, just take a look around. Look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, to the west. Everything that you see, I'm going to multiply. Hallelujah. Because God, when God make a plan for you, God said, look, daughter, this is your time to move. Son, this is your time to move. I'm ordering your steps. I've already prepared a place for you in the presence of all your enemies. I've already anointed your house with oil. I'm going to cause your cup to overflow. In the presence of you, I'm doing all these things. The naysayers, the ones that say you could not be, you could not get the temple, you could not get the building, you could not get the car, you could not get the house. The one that say you can never have a swimming pool. But God said, I'm gonna do all this in the presence of them. I'm gonna let them see. Why? Because you belong to me. I call you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see how God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak thing to confound the mighty? God does this. He goes into a city and pulls Abraham from between his rich family. Abraham had plenty of stuff. But God said, this man, I see his heart. See God looking at the heart. God see his heart. God said that Abraham had an open heart. He had eyes to see and a heart to receive. Now here in chapter 19, let's jump all the way over the trip. Chapter 19, because you can see the same Abraham. The same Abraham is so awesome. He is such, not, I don't know if I say awesome for him, but he is such a righteous man in the presence of the Lord. God wants to bless him. God said he's going to bless him. He was 90 years old, and God said he's going to bless him with a child when he was 90 years old. Now, here in this book of chapter 18, God began to talk to Abraham. His name is changed out from Abram to Abraham. In chapter 18, we just run through here. I want to get some stuff on here because I got to leave here shortly to drop some after work. And then we'll come back. Glory to God. Listen what it says. Here in chapter 18, God promised Sarah's name is changed to Sarah, and Abram's name is changed to Abraham. In chapter 18, we want to start at, let's start at verse 6. He says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. Now, most of the ovens were made out of clay dirt. Back in the country, we still make them out of clay dirt. And we put a rods of iron inside it, and we can put the pan with the baking pan in it and bake the cake. I mean, the best cake you ever taste. I don't know if it's something in that clay dirt, but it makes the cake so good. So he has had an encounter with these three men. Three men of God that come and showed up. If you go back to verse 1, you will see it, all this stuff going on. But Abraham, when Abraham see them, Abraham went to meet them, and then Abraham said, let me go back in the tent. I've got to tell Sarah. God is beginning to move on our behalf like never before. And Abraham said, look, we got to bless these men. I believe they come to bless us, but we got to bless them first. You can see all this stuff going on. A lot of time when I know Apostle Washington Bishop, they had people come to their house before they had to go over to their daughter's house. And the people come from different states, evangelists and prophets and all this stuff, and they would open their door and cook all kind of food and make sure they have showers and take them to restaurants and all kinds of stuff. They take it away because they recognize this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. We're not always got to keep our hands out open to somebody. We're not always got to say, I got to go down to Brother James. He's going to cook me some fried chicken. No. Why don't you get Brother James over? Why don't you open the door for them sometime? Why don't you settle some sometime? Why don't you do something for them sometime? No, people all they want to do. Oh, I want this to do this to me. No. No, Abraham said, just go to make them some cakes. Make some kids. And Abraham run onto the herd. and set a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk. I was listening to this last night. I've been listening to this pastor. I was listening to this last night. I said, my God, I'm going to try this too. I'm going to try cooking with that butter and milk. Hallelujah. Making my steak and stuff with the butter and milk. When I got that prime rib, I'm going to put it in the, because I love prime rib. I'm going to put it in the butter and the milk. I tell you, because something with that butter and that milk together. But he says, and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now watch this. That he had all this stuff cooked and baked for these men of God, these angels. But he didn't eat anything. He just stood there. He's reverencing them as the servants of God. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be if Sarah after the manner of women. Now what he's saying here, that it seems to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now, Sarah was not able to have a menstrual cycle. That's what he's saying here. She wasn't able to have a menstrual cycle. So if she can't have a menstrual cycle, she's not going to be able to have a child. That's in the natural, but not when God is moving on. You might say, well, you know, Pastor's going to get she wants to get a building. She ain't bishop. But they're not able to get a building. They don't have the millions of dollars, thousands of dollars to get the building. You may say that, but that's not what God said. That's why I got to tell all the time, you got to get out. Once this thing break a little bit, and just hold it, because God's gonna move some stuff around. Hey, just get out. With your son-in-law, with your daughter, go there and look for that building. And God going to show you. Sister Abraham didn't think he was converted to go to this place, but God said, let's go, just leave. He's on his father and mother, his brother. He was with them, all of them. And God said, look, just get away from your brother, get away from your mother, get away from your sister, get away from all your kinfolk. Leave them alone. I'm going to take you to a place where I want you to be, to dwell. Now the Bible says, Sarah heard. She was behind them in the little tent. And she laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? How can I have intercourse with my husband? How can my husband have intercourse with me when he is also old? He's not able to get himself together. I'm not able to feel him. All this is going on. She's saying this in her mind. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which I'm old? God is saying to Abraham, how can Sarah question what I'm saying? I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord, and what I say, I do. When I speak and it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Sometimes we hear a man of God, a woman of God prophesying, and we can't take it because we don't believe it's God. But the Bible said before God does the thing, he reveals it to the prophet or the prophetess. He reveals it so that it becomes his mouthpiece in the earth realm to get the people ready to receive what he's going to do. The prophet's not going to do it. God is going to do it, but the prophet speaks it on the behalf of God. He's the ambassador. She's the ambassador. We don't want to see it that way. Everything that God's saying, the world is denying right now. They're telling them now, the United States is telling Jamaica and the Caribbean that they're going to accept the same-sex marriage. And you know that all countries in Caribbean and Africa that depend on America to help them financially. So they're bending backwards, bending over backwards. They got a whole lot of ruckus going on in Jamaica right now. the House of Representatives that are fighting and forcing the people to pass this law. And a lot of people are going to lose their hands and their heads and all kinds of stuff because they're like the machete. Listen, listen, listen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He said, in 9 months, you know, according to the time of life, 9 months. Or close to 9 months, where a woman was conceiving there. See, he said, I'm going to return. And Sarah shall have a son. God says, I have promised you, Apostle Washington Bishop, a church building to house my people. And God says, fine. We know that the coronavirus and the Omicron is out there, but God said, I'm protecting you. I'm covering you. You're my people. I've chosen you. I've handpicked you myself. You heard my spirit when I called you later in the nighttime. God said, you heard my spirit when I call you. It's time. God said, after the winter, there'll be spring. After spring, there'll be summer. God said, it's time to get up, my daughter, my son. Get up, and do what I call you to do. Too many people dying and going to hell. Too many people dying and going to hell because folk out there not preaching the truth. And God wants people out there. He wants officers out there in the field that's going to preach the truth. They're not coming to us. We got to go to them. That's what God's saying. God's what I'm saying to us. Let's go here. Let me get a little bit more. My granddaughter going to get me in a minute. Oh, my God. I want to get to chapter 19, though. Apostle, if you got your Bible, go to chapter 19, and I want you to work that from verse 1 as much as you can. And I will be on the radio, and I will pick up from where you are when I get back here, because I'm going to go there. I want to go there, because I want to show you. This is the land. This is the reason why I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the land, but I gotta paint this picture for you all. This is the land that Lot chose. This is the plain. Sodom, Gomorrah, mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah is in the plain. It's in the plain, yeah, with all the water, all the grass, all the food, all the clubs. I mean, all the place that they can go drink wine and all this stuff. He chose this. This is the place he chose that he took instead of Abraham. Abraham took the place, mm-hmm, that didn't look like nothing, looked like crap. But God caused it to flourish for Abraham. You understand? Listen, mm-hmm, to what he's saying. Listen, we got to get there. I'm setting this picture. Mm-hmm. So God now said to Abraham, at the same set time, see, there's a set time in God's time. It's not our time. God's time is always a set time. I want you to know that. His time is a set time. It doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. God set winter. He set fall, winter, spring, and summer. He set them in order. And they come every time the same way. Summer don't come before winter. Spring don't come before the fall. God had everything set in a precise way, and they fall and sink every time. So God has a set time for us to do what he wants done. And then what he does is he honored the set time that he gave to us. Hallelujah. I had some things that was coming on me. I tell you, I saw I shared a little bit the other day on the line. Some things was coming on me. Apostle, you wasn't on the line. I'm sad there. And some things was coming on me and was attacking my spirit. Because it wanted to lead me astray. And it was so subtle. Even this morning, I was praying about it. And I asked the Lord to just remove that. Don't let it overcome. Because that's how the enemy does. He's very, very subtle. The Bible says, in the set time, in the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, said, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and she said, nay, but thou, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You know, sometimes we do stuff and we want to tell God I didn't do it. Like God is, he's supreme. He's sovereign God. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent, omniscient. God sees, hears, and knows all things. Oh, God, I didn't do that. The people were saying in the book of Ezekiel, they were sinning, saying that God can't see them. I mean, they were sinning. Upside down, left, right. They were sinning. Chapter 8 of Ezekiel. And they said, God can't see them. God don't know what they're doing. Some crazy people today in the world that we're living in have committed some and sin, and they think God can't see and God can't hear. The woman told the evangelist, all the things she has done is not going to hinder her from going to heaven. She knows she's going to heaven. She said, I know I'm going to heaven. She's a fornicator. She's an adulteress. She's a liar. She's a cheat. She's a blasphemer. She curses. She gossips. All these things she does, but she still thinks she's going to heaven. And the man had to tell her, said, if you don't repent of these things and turn from, because you can say you repent, but if you don't turn from, because everybody says, I repent. Oh, yeah, I repent, Lord. But they're still doing the same thing. If we don't repent and turn from the sin, we go to hell. We're going to bust her wide open. Wide open. I hear a lot of people saying today, every time you go on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram, people saying that they went to heaven and went to hell and all this stuff. But the Bible said no one went to heaven except the one that came down. No flesh can go to heaven. And they said they went to heaven and they sit down and talk to God and all this kind of stuff. One guy said, God asked him a question. Want to get his opinion on something. God does not need no opinion of no man. He's God all by himself. God don't need my opinion. I need God's opinion. Tell me what to do, Lord. How should I do this, Lord? But they say, oh, God called me. God called me. I was praying, and God called me. God said, what, can I have your opinion? No, God don't need your opinion. God tells us what to do. And we obey or we disobey. Place where we obeying God. Now let's go back into this word, and then I'm going to get in my car. I hear some out there walking. Jesus have mercy. No. The Bible says, and the men rose up from, that's verse 16, and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? No. Hear this. This is the way the Hebrew talk speaks. But God is saying to Abraham, it's saying, he is saying, this is God talking to himself. And he says, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? Shall I keep this thing from Abram? Well, Abraham, what I'm about to do? Because God is talking in the present, in the future. See? And he said, to the highest thing, because God saying the end before the beginning. God saw that very line that Sodom, that Lot wanted to have so much. That land that he wanted so much. That he was cherishing that. He said, well, now I got it now, because, you know, I got it now, Apostle. As you can see Lot walking around pushing his chest up on Abraham. Yeah, my uncle had all the gold and silver, and he had all them sheep and goat, but now I got this land, and I got the land with good water holes and good grass, and my sheep and my goat and my camels and my donkeys going to really multiply. I'm going to be richer than my uncle. Can you see some people like that? Because you got a little building, and they say they can see themselves now getting a bigger building, and all they want to do, they don't say that, no, we got, you got a building, I got a building, and now we can really have each other to grow in the ministry so we can win more souls for the kingdom. They don't see that. They're all thinking about, well, I got the bigger building. I got the mega stadium now. I can have 30,000 people. I can have 3 services. Somebody ready?
It's not wonderful.
Okay. So they all, that's all they're seeing. That's all they're seeing. And once they're seeing that, look, they're not thinking about the kingdom. But Abraham is focusing on doing what God said. He's going to be a father of many nations. No. Watch this. The Lord, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Oh, my God, do you want this? This I say, Lord, I want you to know me like how you knew Abraham. Oh, my God, did you hear what he said? For I know him. He's talking this kind of talk about Lot, Job. And he says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. See, God know that Abraham gonna keep the commandments. He know that he gonna have his household keep the commandments. God know that he gonna have his people, all of them, walking righteously. God know this because Abraham is a righteous man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is what God is looking for in us. That the people that are around us, we're going to keep showing them. Let them see the righteousness of God in us. Let them see us walking holy. So they said, I want to be holy too. That way he said, let your light so shine before men, that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We ought to, our light ought to be shining all the time. Not only when we get to go down to the building and preach. Not only when somebody calls us to do evangelistic work. When somebody calls us to do a crusade. Our lights always should be shining. Hallelujah. Somebody's in the store and they're getting ready to cross over. You don't know that, but they're getting ready to cross over. When they get in that car driving on the highway, they're going to get an accident. But God said, I want you to be right there. And as they cross through the island, the store, I want you to ask them. Don't mind. Don't really want to offend you. But I feel led to ask you about a friend of mine named Jesus. Can I just talk to you for a minute? Because it's the way that we approach them that going to make all the difference. That person, when you look on the news, you just share Jesus with them. And you look on the news, you will fall over. You say, I just talked to that person in the store. And they got in an accident. And they were taken out this world. But you introduce them to your friend named Jesus. The Bible says, Lord says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot is in Sodom. Lot and his wife, his daughters, and his son-in-laws are in Sodom. A lot happened for Lot since he left. Now when he leaves, he got daughters. Now he got a wife. And he got son-in-laws. And they saw them in the midst of the hell pit. God is seeing all this. Abraham can't see it. Go, he not God. And God says, I had this thing from Abraham that I shall do. This is it. And the Lord says, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, Abraham had the heart of God. Lord, of time we see the people as they are, but not as God sees them. Abraham now is interceding that if there be 50 righteous men, 40, 30, 20, 10, will you still destroy? And God said, no. Perhaps if there be 10 men, 10 people righteous in there, will you still pray a venture? Perhaps. God said no. And it came, let's jump to chapter 19 quick. And I'll give a little bit, and then the apostle can take over and I leave. I would appreciate that. Glory to God. God says to Abraham, if I find 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. He jumped all the way down to 10. God says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet by this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there, peradventure. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10 sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. See, God is willing to stand for us and help us. Now, Apostle, if you can pick up chapter 19, I greatly appreciate it. I'm going out and take some after school to work. When I was in school.
I'm here.
Yeah, if you can take up from chapter 19, you can work that as the Lord give you after work it. Chapter 19 of Genesis. 19. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And want to talk about Lot and the angels that came down, the man of God that came down, how Lot protected them, and how the homosexual people wanted to have sex with them and stuff. And Lot protected the men. Okay? All right, go ahead. I'm going to put my phone on mute.
Mm-hmm. All right. Praise the Lord. Greetings to you all, Pastor Linda and Bishop James on the line. Glory to God. Glad to be with you again. Bless you all. Bless you all. So I'm going to turn to 19. I hadn't turned to it yet. And I believe Apostle already mentioned that God called Father Abraham out of the place where he was with his family. And I believe he talked about that, and it was for a good reason, because he was going to be a chosen vessel of the Lord. And the Lord had to get him away from his people, because his people were of the Chaldeans. His people were those that worshiped God. And because God wanted to use him, he had to get him away from his people. And what I love about Abraham is that he immediately obeyed God. He didn't ask God, where are you going to take me? He didn't say, where are you sending me, God? He just said, go. And Abraham went. At that time, he was Abram. And so I just, you know, Apostle probably said that I kind of was up all night and I kind of dozed a little bit. But I just couldn't sleep all last night, and I was up very late reading and what have you. But anyway, Abraham had to take the high road, because God puts us on his highway of holiness. When he chooses us, we have to stay on the high road. He had to get him away from those people. He was literally in the wilderness. He was literally in the wilderness. Just like we have those wilderness experiences. But Lot began to kind of feud. There was a feud over different things, especially they had so much. But Lot wanted to leave. It got to the point that Lot wanted to leave. So Lot pitched his tent in Sodom. It was a place that was rich industry there. He had his eyes on stuff. Abraham had his eyes on the Lord. Amen. But he had his eyes on the stuff. He saw the industry. He saw the richness that was there. He already had a lot. But see, he had that greed in him. And many times that greed will have us to make mistakes and make bad decisions. Because the more we have, most rich people, most people that got a whole lot, the more we want. And so, and I believe he was jealous of his uncle because Uncle Abraham had much more than he had. But Abraham had a different kind of heart. First of all, I believe Apostle said he wasn't supposed to take Lot. God gave him a command to leave, but he didn't say, don't take Lot, don't take anybody with you. But he told him to go, all right? So he did go, but he loved his nephew so much, and I believe he just wanted to get his nephew out of that place. Apparently, his nephew was close to him. But Abraham was told to take the high road. Amen. So Abraham and Lot had reached, we can call it an impasse. Is that right, Bishop? They reached this impasse, and both of them had so much, so money, so many possessions. And that conflict came between them. And that can happen with the people of God, where the conflict will come. And a lot of times the people of God will get jealous of another person of God that may have more or have that's so anointed. You know, they're so anointed but they're following the Lord. They're blessed of the Lord. Lot was blessed just for the fact of him having an uncle who loved him that much and an uncle who was following the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be around people who follow the Lord, who have their eyes set on the things of God? And that's how Abraham was. As I said, he was a man who obeyed God, mm-hmm. a man who made mistakes. That was a mistake taking Lot. Mm-hmm. And he knew it. So he said, you know, go ahead, Lot. Take what you want, so much. But he wasn't greedy for gain. And that can mess people up so bad, Apostle. They get greedy for gain, and it causes conflict, that jealousy, that envy. It causes strife. It really does cause strife. And so they had some strife going on between them. That conflict got really hot. And it made conflict among the people that was there with them. So we're in Genesis 19, but in Genesis 13 is where is where we're talking about when they first, you know, had the feud and all of this is going on. But you know what I love about this story is the obedience of Abraham. Abraham said, "I'm not going anywhere." I mean, I'm just paraphrasing. I got the Bible here, but I know I can hear. It's like you can kind of hear maybe a conversation that's not there. I'm not going anywhere. I'm satisfied where I am. The Lord has blessed me, and that's how I feel. You know, we're blessed where we are. When God orders your steps, and I believe Apostle already mentioned that, God is ordering Abram's steps, just like he orders our steps. Amen? He orders our steps in his word. And when he tells us to go, we ought to go. Jesus gave us the same commandment. Go, therefore, go out into all the world. Amen? Go out into the world and disciple. Go out into the world and evangelize. Glory be to God. Because, see, God had plans for Abram. At that time, he was still Abram. But you mentioned how God told him he was going to bless him and how he was going to give him a son, you know. So he had promise. We have the promises of God, the promises of God to give us everything that we need. And not only that, to prosper in all things, but also to prosper in our health and in our soul. See, Abraham was prospering in his soul more so than Lot. Because Abraham was attached to God. He had to take him from among his people in order for him to serve, in order for him to do the things of the Lord, get him away from there, because he was of the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans are today the modern Iraqi people. That's who they are today. When Farrakhan was talking about him being a Muslim, he came from the Muslim people. He came from them. That's what they were, because they were of the Chaldeans. And when I looked up that word, the Chaldeans were of or of the modern day Iraqis right now. And so that's why God had to move him, because he wanted him all to himself. He had to get him away from that influence. Mm-hmm. And that's what I take of this story, that come away from the influence of the people of the world. Amen. We got to come out of the world. These were worldly people. These were people. They had much, but they were the modern Ishmaelites. Amen. Where the other son Ishmael, the other son is of the Ishmaelites, and that's why they're still fighting. Lot was fighting with his uncle. Lot was fighting with his uncle, and they're still fighting today. They're still fighting today, and they still worship other gods. But anyway, so Lot goes. He goes on to Sodom. To Sodom and Gomorrah. That's two cities. Some people think it's just one city, but Sodom and Gomorrah is two different cities. And so the same one, Abraham, had to pray for his nephew, because God said he was going to destroy that place. Now the two angels arrive at Sodom because God told him that he was going to destroy that place. He told Abraham he was going to destroy that place, and Abraham starts to pray for his nephew. As I said, when we get greedy, we make a lot of bad decisions, and we don't have God on our mind, because God is not God warns us about greed. Amen. And that's what's wrong with the world today. There's so many greedy people, and we have on our minds, I want what I want for me and mine. All right. But anyway, that jealousy arose between them. But then as the story goes on, we get to 19, where the angels appear, because God is going to destroy these people because they're all about money. They're all about their own gods. They had a whole lot of homosexuality going on in those two cities. And so God said, I gotta destroy them. They've just gone too far. They've gone way overboard. Glory be to God. Our God is a patient God. He's a patient God, and he gives us time to change. Glory be to God. He even gave Lot time to get out, because he was taking his time getting out. But anyway, he gave a Lot a chance to get out of there. Because Abraham loved him so much. And don't you know that God loves what we love? But we got to love what God loves. Amen. We got to love the holiness. We got to love the obedience. Glory be to God. So Abraham practiced doing well. He practiced obeying God, and God blessed him. He took the way of Abel instead of the way of Cain. Amen. Cain was just way out there. He too was jealous. He was jealous of his brother. He was jealous of his brother because God blessed him so. Amen. He was blessed more than Cain with stuff. But he was jealous of him because, you know, there's something about the people of God. There's something about the people of God. Either you're going to love them or hate them. Because they shine. They really do shine. That beautiful way about the beauty of, it's the beauty of holiness that comes. Glory be to God, that comes upon us. It's the beauty of holiness because we are serving the Lord. Amen. And we do the things of God, and we are set apart. Abraham was set apart. Amen. And he didn't act like the world. Amen. He knew the Lord. Glory be to God. And so he did what the Lord told him to do. But the mistake was taking Lot with him. When God give us a commandment, we're to follow that commandment to the T. Whatever it is that he says to us to do, we are to do it without a second thought. But he didn't think anything of it, taking his nephew with him, and that's what caused a big problem. But you know what? Still, God didn't stop him. God didn't say, Abraham, don't take Lot, Abraham. I told you just to leave. I didn't tell you to take. God didn't do that. Because, see, God knew in the interim that something was going to go down uh-huh. with Lot.
Amen.
And he was going to save Lot. Uh-huh. Amen. God knows the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so because Abraham loved God, because Abraham, God saw in Abraham what the natural eyes will not see. God knows our hearts. God knows about us, and he knows what he can do with us. Amen? And so I believe God was like, all right, let him take Lot, and he's going to find out for him. God allows us to do things so we can find out for ourselves.
Yes.
There's some things that God can stop us from doing, but then he wants us to find out for ourselves. They'll see, but then they'll also see that I am with them and I am with their family. Amen? So because he took Lot with him, that was Lot's protection. God was protecting Lot. He protected him from this destruction that was to come as a result of him, a result of all the sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So Abraham would take whatever real estate Lot didn't take, and he served generously and sacrificially. He gave up what could have been his for the sake of someone else. Fight here. We don't need to fight, you know. Just go ahead, take whatever you want. I'm going back there a little bit because that's so important. Because God said, to give and it shall be given. Amen. Just give it, and God is going to give it back even the more. Pressed down, good measure, shaken together, 30, 60, 100 full. That's what God does. So whatever Abram was given to him, it wasn't going to be no lack for Abraham. He wasn't even going to miss this because that's how blessed they were.
Yes.
Abraham could do this because he valued the relationship more than his possessions. That's very, very important. He valued that. Hallelujah. His relationship with his nephew because he loved him that much. And he recognized that he already had more land than he or Lot needed. Amen? He knew that God was in control and would do him justice in the end. This is when you know you have a relationship with God. He's going to protect you from destruction. He's going to protect you from the evil one. Glory be to God. And there are going to be people that are going to be jealous. There are going to be people that's going to hate us. Hate us for what we know. Hate us for how we look. Hate us for what we got. The main thing we have God.
Yeah, Baba.
And we know him. Mm-hmm. Abraham had a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And that is more valuable than all the possessions that he had. And he realizes that. He knew that God was in control and that he is going to still be blessed.
Yes.
And this is a great example of a leader. See, we have to be good leaders. When God calls us out, we have to model Jesus Christ. We got to model God. We got to take on those godly characteristics, mm-hmm. you know. And this is what Abraham had. But he learned his lesson. When God tells you to do something, do exactly what God said to do. And you said, Apostle, that God has a set time. See, there was going to be a set time that Abraham was going to come out of the wilderness. My God, God was going to take him out. Hallelujah. And he was going to get
That's right.
the promise that God promised him. He knew that.
Man.
He knew that deep down in his Noah, he knew that. Just like Noah knew, I got to build this ark because I heard the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. It took me, you know, 100 years, but he did it. But he knew that he heard God. And Abraham knew. We got to know. We got to know the voice of God. That's a very important point. We got to hear the voice of God. And then when they were having this discourse, when they're having this impasse, while they're having this, Abraham is saying, you know, it's all right. You could just go. We're not going to argue and fight and fuss over this. You just go it on. Go do your thing. You go it on. You know, that's what I always say. Leave them alone. Leave people alone. Leave folk alone. Let them do what they're going to do. God is still going to bless you. Whatever they do
that's
to
right.
you.
Amen.
Whatever
right.
they're doing. Whatever bad they do to you, believe it. God is going to be your refuge. God is going to be your shield. He's going to be your buckler. This is what Abraham learned. I serve a mighty God. I'm not going to have no lack. I'm already rich. I'm already blessed and rich with possessions. You know, we're not going to fight over this, you know. And I always say, don't fight with people. Let them have their way. If they want something, you got. If your brother have needed something, Lot felt he needed more. He looked at the industry in that place. Much industry. Them people were super rich in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were super rich, but they were bent on disobeying. God was nowhere there. He was nowhere there, and it came before the Lord. He got tired of them. And so he tells Abraham, I'm going to destroy that place. Abraham began to intercede for his nephew. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
I have a question. mm-hmm. Wasn't it sort of like a rule, if your brother dies, that you would take care of his family?
Yeah.
You know, and I think maybe a lot of Abram was thinking, well, my brother's gone. And I got to take care of his widow and his orphan. Lot was his orphan. And he was still, you know, he was still his brother's son. So I think he may have thought, well, hey, that's my brother's son. I have to take care of him.
I don't know that Lot's daddy was dead.
But he took his nephew, just taking your nephew, and
because you know how you have certain people that you just love.
Yeah, yeah.
You love them, and you may favor them more than somebody else in the
That's
family
true.
Because you have a connection with them.
I was just thinking about the Chaldeans.
I'm sure he was probably much younger than Abraham.
Oh, sure.
And and he just wanted to keep him under his wing. You know,
I mean, if he was 70 years old,
he was probably a mentor. He's like a maybe even like a father-like figure. Maybe we don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell us that Lot wasn't getting along with his family. The Bible doesn't even tell us that Lot's daddy was dead, or that his family, or that you know he was fatherless. It doesn't say that. But what it does let us know is that Abraham was very fond of his nephew.
Okay.
Amen. Because he wouldn't have taken him with him. And maybe, just maybe, Apostle, maybe Lot was grieving over the fact that his uncle was going to leave, because this was somebody he looked up to.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that separation, just the thought of the separation, was probably grieving Lot. I'm saying that's not in the Bible now.
No, I know.
I'm just thinking about how I would feel if I had to be separated from somebody that I really love. I mean, even when people we love, when they die, we grieve,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they leave us, and we don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
And so maybe Lot was the nephew that was clinging to Abraham, because there was many of them. The Chaldeans, there were many. So anyway, they leave together, and this is probably because of the mentorship, and because he might have looked up to Abraham as a father figure. Maybe I don't know, but I believe that Lot cared about his uncle.
He did.
But he got his eyes on possessions. He got his eyes on gain. Sometimes the more we have, the more we want. And that is something we have to be very careful of, you know, that we don't get the greed, and we get our mind on stuff and not on God. We can't left. We're blessed as the people of God. We're blessed. God wants us to have beautiful, nice things.
Yes,
but the main thing he wants us to have is holiness. That's the main thing,
and
to be obedient.
To him only.
And to worship him. Things. And that's why he took Abram from his people, because they had many gods, many gods. So let's get more deep into it, Apostle. You said you were here in 19 where the angels arrived in Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. And when he saw them, he got up to meet them. He bowed down with his face to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, then go on your way early in the morning." And he said, no, they answered. "We will spend the night in the square." Now, that's very important. That's what the angels do. They guard. They take guardianship over where you are.
Yes.
The angels are watching. The angels are taking charge. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be in the city. You hear me pray sometime when I say, God, you know, post your angels at the gate of our city. Post your angels, God, hallelujah, around our home. The angels are guardians. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us angels to take charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. So they're on the watch. Yes, yeah, Psalm 91. So they're on the watch. Amen.
Yeah.
They said, "No, we're not going to stay here. We're going to stay there."
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to honor them. He knew these were angelic beings.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Now, he's been around Abraham. He knows something about God.
Uh-huh.
Some of God done rubbed off on Lot.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Yes,
because if he was totally evil, I believe God just let him go too.
Yes.
But because he was around a holy man, because he's around this man that honors God, he saw the mannerisms. You know, he saw these mannerisms. This was his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he saw Abram praying. I know he saw Abram serving God. He seen that because they were living in the same place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. So we got to watch people's demeanor. Our demeanor and how we carry ourselves will allow other people to see God, to see love, to see kindness.
Yes.
You know, to see that these are people that will help us. These are people that will pray for us.
Okay.
But as I said, some will love us and some will hate us.
Yes.
Everybody is not going to love us. Amen. And most people, a lot of people will be jealous of your possessions.
Uh-huh.
And what you possess inside is the Holy Spirit. Spirit. And when you shine, other people, many people get jealous of that. When you shine, and the devil hates it. He hates it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He hates anybody that loves God. If you love God and you got a relationship with God, he's going to hate you and try to destroy you.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to spend the night in the square, and they're going to get their signals from God when it's time.
Uh-huh.
But Lot insisted so strongly, I should have read on. They did go with him. But I guess the intent was to watch. That's what the angels do. I believe the angels are in our homes, too. I believe, but they stand outside, too. They stand outside and they watch. I should have read further. But anyway, but Lot insisted so strongly strongly that they did go with him. Excuse me, and entered his house. And he prepared a meal for them. They insisted, so God allowed it. Amen?
Amen.
He had already recognized what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But their mission was to be in the
square.
In the square. Mm-hmm. Amen. But the angels are everywhere.
Yes.
God has given them charge over us. So he goes in and eats the bread without yeast. And they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out after us so that we can have sex with them. That's how evil they were. They want, I mean, this is like new stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know those angels were beautiful.
Uh-huh.
You know they probably were beautiful. So Lot went outside to meet them, and he shut the door behind him. And he said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." Now, Lot is saying it's wicked. See, now God is going to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
Lot wasn't afraid of them. He shut that door behind him. Don't do this. This is wicked.
It's a wicked thing.
Hallelujah. He said, "No, my friend, don't do it. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. He's willing to sacrifice his daughters for the right thing."
Yeah, how about that?
That sounds real horrible.
Yeah, but he would be blessed, you know, if they would have taken his daughters. Is him and
those
daughters
angels went, those he the angels was. But anyway, let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. My God. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Like you could protect the angels, but anyway.
Yeah.
But there's the kindness. There's the hospitality. You know, that was taught to him.
Uh-huh.
This is what's taught to the people of God through
God. And the immorality was, you know, hey, this ain't the kind of stuff we do. You know,
that's right.
Know.
It's not. No. It's really not. No. Glory be to God. We don't do these things. That's wicked. That's wicked. You're wicked. Mm-hmm. And he knew this was angelic beings, but he learned a lot from his uncle.
Yeah.
Just by being around the man of God.
Point in fact,
mm-hmm.
point in fact, Apostle,
mm-hmm.
we have to watch the way we are because people are watching us continuously.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching us. And whatever we do, they're making mental notes of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have a notebook full of stuff. Well, he did this and she did this and he didn't do this, or, you know, or whatever. They make mental notes. Oh, I remember something. Such and such that they did was wrong. Or in their book, it was wrong, but maybe it wasn't. But still, they watch us carefully. Watch us carefully. And any little thing that you do, you know, they look at it as, well, it wasn't a big charge, but it sure was a, and guess where they get this word from? Demeanor? Misdemeanor. That comes from the word demeanor. But you misbehaving.
Mm-hmm.
Demeanor is behavior. Wow.
A misdemeanor is a crime.
Oh, well, it's a misbehavior.
And when you don't follow the laws of God,
it's a crime.
It's
yeah.
a crime.
Yeah.
You
but,
commit
I mean,
a crime
this,
when
this
you break the laws of God.
This is how we get this, you know,
yeah.
misdemeanor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
amen.
You know, it's a crime, but it wasn't a major crime as far as, because a crime is a crime as far as I'm concerned. You know, but, it's, you know, but that's neither here nor there. It's just... You know, saying that it comes from the word misdemeanor
mm-hmm.
offense. A misdemeanor offense is a small offense,
mm-hmm.
like you steal a candy bar or something, you know, and then that's a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you steal a whole case of candies, it may be worth over $100. Now
that's
it's a felony.
Yes.
Well, that's just, you know, just
so we did worse than misdemeanor.
Oh, God.
When we sinned against God.
Oh, Lord.
Huh. Way worse than a misdemeanor.
Oh my God.
Way worse than a felony.
Tell me the difference.
Hallelujah.
See, this is what I was saying the other day. What's the difference if you pull a gun on a man or a woman and she's giving him money
mm-hmm.
and you take $2 from them? That's all they have.
Mm-hmm.
They go Fine. Before a judge. When they get caught, they said,
mm-hmm.
well, they only have $2.
Amen.
Just said, if they had $2,000, $2 million, $2, two pennies, if you pull a gun on them, it's still armed robbery. It's still an armed robbery, you know. That doesn't change the fact that you robbed somebody. Yeah, go, what were you saying now, dude? And with the angels.
Amen.
The angels.
Bless you.
So,
bless you.
God bless you, Apostle. But after all of this happens, he's going to offer his daughters and all of that. And this just goes to show you that he's not an evil man.
No.
He just went the wrong direction in life. And that can happen to us. We go the wrong direction. However, when we got people praying for us, when we have made, it's one of the laws of connection. When we are connected, divinely connected to other people, even when we're making mistakes,
mm-hmm.
like Apostle was praying this morning for my son-in-law, praying for our son-in-law.
Awesome.
And I really look at him as my son. And I even spelled his name Vinson with a S-O-N on the end, but it's Vincent. But I call him Vince's son because he's truly been a good son.
Yes,
but anyway, when you see these things happening and you see the man of God, and because he prayed for Lot is making a really good decision here. Lot's heart is not totally wicked. He doesn't have a wicked heart. Amen. Because he's had that connection with his uncle. Glory be to God. He has been taught how to be kind, even though he wanted to go and be more prosperous. He needed more. He felt that he needed more. And he wanted to be, maybe he just felt like, I just want to be on my own. I've been under my uncle's wing all this time, and I see this as a prosperous place. So he pitches his tent in Sodom. Amen? But anyway, so Lot tells them to get out. They tell Lot, don't do anything. Lot tells them, don't do anything. I'm going to be finished in a minute, Apostle. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. He said, get out of my way, they reply. This fellow came here as a foreigner, and now he wants to play the judge. They're talking about Lot. Lot is a foreigner. Lot is not of them.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. That's how evil they were. But the men inside reached out, pulled Lot back into the house, and shut the door. That's the angels. They struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness,
mm-hmm.
so that they could not find the door.
Mm-hmm.
The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belong to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place.
Yes.
And the outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it.
Oh, my.
So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry, get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking.
Mm.
Just like they thought, no, this is a joke, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a big joke.
Yeah.
What do you think you're doing? Are you crazy? This has got to be a joke. And they were laughing at Noah and laughing at Lot. You've got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This is a joke. So with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when this city is punished. And when he hesitated, the man grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city so their husbands would listen. They would not listen. They would not listen. When we don't listen, destruction is on the way. When we don't listen and continue to disobey God, destruction is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
It said, so the Lord, it says here in verse 17, that the daughters and the family were led safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. Thank you, Lord. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away.
Mm-hmm.
But Lot said to them, no, my Lord, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes. and you have shown great kindness to me and sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. And he said to him, very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town was called Zoar. So we see so much. This is so packed with so much revelation. Number one, God had Abraham, and he was in love with God, and God was in love with him first, of course. So he prayed, and this is incredible, is when God revealed that he planned to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham confronted God. Now that lets us know we have to have conversations with God.
Yes.
He confronted God with prayer, and God would never destroy the righteous ones. So he took a stand, as all good leaders are supposed to do, as all good leaders are able to do as we are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to God. He negotiated with God. Hallelujah. How many people it would take for God to withhold his punishment? And Abraham wasn't afraid to use his resolve. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to confront God because he had a relationship with God. He felt comfortable with God, but not too comfortable that he was going to disobey God. Amen. And God ensured him the safety of his family. And God will do the same for us. But these people were so wicked. Here they wanted to knock the door down, Apostle. They wanted to knock the door down and get after these beautiful angels, these God-sent angels. They wanted to break the door, and that's how evil they were, and that's how the devil does. He tries to break in. He comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil does. We see the work of the devil in this story. We see the work of God. Excuse me, the security that God gives us when we are connected, when we are in that divine connection. Glory be to God. That's why it's important to be connected to God. Be connected to the people of God, because the people of God is going to pray. They're going to be there when you need. My God, they're just going to be there for you. They are your friends. We are friends to each other, and friends are going to stand up for each other. Friends are going to pray for each other, because this is what we're taught by God to do.
That's right.
Amen. And so praise God. God destroyed that place, and he's going to destroy this world as well. It's going to be destroyed. It's not going to be as we know it anymore when Jesus come back. Amen. It's not going to be, because the devil, if you allow him, he'll come in and destroy. Glory be to God. And don't we see a lot of destruction? But these were this was homosexuality.
Right.
And it came as a stench to God. My God. And the greed, it wasn't just the homosexuality. It was the greed. They were doing every kind of sin there. They were doing every wicked thing. Those towns were totally, totally out of order. There was nothing good about what they were doing. They called Lot a foreigner, because Lot was not of them. Lot was not of them. And if he had been of them, he would have allowed them to come in and do what they wanted to do. And then God would have destroyed them, right? God would have destroyed his family if he had allowed them to come in. So God, I'm sure God was pleased with what Lot did. But God wasn't going to allow Lot to sacrifice his daughters.
No.
Amen. Those angels guarded them. Glory be to God. Those angels, those angels put blindness on them. And that's what happens anyway. They were blind to the things of God anyway, but they put that natural blindness on them so they couldn't see. They were already spiritually blind, or they wouldn't have been acting like that. But he put that natural blindness on them. And that's what God will do. God will hide. He will hide us in his secret place. Believe me, I know about it. He will hide us from harm and danger. Glory be to God. And then God is behind the scenes, and we can't see everything that God saves us from. Hallelujah. But this is an account where he saw the angels, and he seen what they were about to do. And Abram knew the whole thing, what was going to go down. God allows us to know some things too. God says, I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. If you call on me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things. If you seek me, you will find me. Mm-hmm. When we seek God in prayer, we find what? The answers. We find the answers from God. Mm-hmm. And God gives us, God is the problem solver. Amen?
Yeah.
We have problems, God don't. But God is the problem solver. So there was a problem in Sodom and Gomorrah, a big problem for God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And so God destroyed it. But he told them not to look back. Yeah. Don't look back. But his wife looked back. She was thinking about all she had and all she was leaving. And I'm sure there were people that she had gotten connected to there. But they had so much. The thought of her, yes. I have studied to
there.
Know
where she was from.
She was probably from the Chaldeans. But anyway, I don't like the probably when I'm teaching. But that's something we could look up later. But at any rate, this is a very good story. It lets us know we are not to look back. Lot's wife looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt. God said not to look back, and again, that's a commandment. Again, she didn't follow the command, and she was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would have looked back, they all would have been destroyed.
That's right.
So, again, Lot escaped. God will make a way of escape for us. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And if we take the high road, mm-hmm. hallelujah, stay on the high road, God will put us there, and we have to stay there. And God will take care of everything for our lives. And just know that the enemy is willing to break in if you let him.
Huh.
Because, see, if we give place to the devil, if we give place to the devil, he will break in.
Oh, yes.
He will break in and steal. Mm-hmm. He will break in and kill.
If we give him place. You're opening the doors.
Well, you're opening yourself up.
Right.
You're opening yourself up for destruction.
Uh-huh.
You're opening yourself up for a whole lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And that's what happened. They'll break in. They will. If you just let them, they will. And why do they have the right to do it? Because there's something we have done.
Uh-huh.
There's something that either God want to test us with or something that we have done.
And
it could be.
To repent.
Right. It could be something we have done that wasn't right before God, or God is allowing us to go through like he did with Job. He said Job was the righteous man, and Job suffered because God allowed it so that the devil wouldn't boast. Amen? So that the devil wouldn't boast. Look what I done. I told you he was going to curse you to your face. And no, God allowed him to go through that so the devil would see, no, I do have righteous ones. I do have a remnant. Mm-hmm. I do have those that are going to follow me regardless.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I got those I can trust are going to do what I ask them to do.
Yes.
Amen. Follow my way. Glory be to God. And so that's what God is teaching us through this lesson. The main thing is to be obedient and not to be greedy for gain, but always have your mind on the things of God. Keeping your mind stayed on God, he keeps you in perfect peace. That's what he does. Glory be to God. And prayer. Prayer is what saves.
Mm.
God answered the prayer.
Yes.
And he knew it would hurt Abraham deeply.
Yes.
And, you know, when we are honorable, when we honor the word of God, he'll honor us.
Oh, isn't
that? Hallelujah. He rewards those who diligently seek him.
My God.
He didn't want Abraham's heart to grieve and the whole family to be destroyed for his great great nieces.
Yes.
You know, and God showed Lot. God showed Lot. I am God. I am God, and obey me. And then we see what happened to the wife when because she didn't obey. So when we don't obey and we live a life of disobedience, when we look back and turn our back on God, and when we look back, don't look back. Don't look back. Just keep looking forward. Just keep looking to Jesus. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. And be like Abraham. Pray about it.
Yes.
Pray about it. I love God. I love what God does, though. A lot of times God will show you what's coming. God will give you a dream, give you a word. He's done it with me.
Yeah.
I'm talking from experience here. I'm not talking about what somebody told me.
No,
my God will give me dreams and show me some things the enemy is up to.
That's right.
He'll show me some good things. And that's good when God will expose the enemy. And then he lets you know this is what's going down. This is what's going down. The enemy is about to do blah, blah, blah. He'll show you things, and then you got to pray about it. You got to pray about it to know what God, because sometimes you have a vision or a dream, and you don't really have an understanding
right.
exactly of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But God will give it to you, and he by and by as you pray, he may give you more of what's going on, or he'll let you know, I'm your shield. He'll let you know, I'm your blesser.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one that's going to bless you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because that dream you had, God will show you, see, that dream you had, that's what that was.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Uh-huh.
It'll come true. Whatever you
see,
whatever he showed you, it can come true or God will stop it. If it's something
right.
really bad,
uh-huh.
God will stop it. And I've seen it. I've seen it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I've seen something good God was going to do. It's all good. And I've seen what God, if something was going to be happening with somebody else, and God shows you so you could pray. It's the same thing he did with Abraham. God let Abraham know what was going down. He'll let you know. There are times he'll let you know what's going down. And sometimes it'll be a mystery and you won't know. But one thing you know when it's all said and done, God, the one who's your protector, your provider,
mm-hmm.
your deliverer,
yes.
your healer,
mm-hmm.
your recompense.
Oh, no.
He is your recompense as well. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He is your wealthy place.
Yes,
he is the one that causes you to get wealth. Amen. And Abraham knew that. Just know it. The devil will come after you. He'll come after you. When he want to do something, he'll come after you, and he's just looking. He's looking for you to mess up. He's
mm-hmm.
looking, just like he told God. He wanted to hear Job cuss him to his face. He wanted that to happen, you know, because he was what? Blessed. He was a righteous man. He was a man who followed God, who did what God said to do, a man who gave, living a righteous life,
mm-hmm.
and he gave his best to God.
Yes, he did.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And God told that devil, God said in the beginning of the book of Job, he's a righteous man, and so was Abram.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. At the time he was, you know.
Yeah.
Well, at the time he had become Abraham by then. He had become Abraham, and God made a covenant with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was Abraham. So God has put us, again, I say, on that high road.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And we have to learn how to value relationships more than our possessions, more than money, more than anything. Glory be to God. And then when we do that, we'll be obeying God. We can't love stuff more than we love God. More than we love people, amen. So, what happened was?
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
It burned down and turned to what? Ashes.
Ashes and dust and ashes.
In dust. That's how it ended up.
Mm-hmm.
In dust.
Yeah, that's
it was
right.
All gone. In dust.
It ended. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna. This world is going to not end. There's world with no end, but the system of the way this world is now is going to change.
Yes.
It's going to change, and it's going to come back to order, because it's totally out of order. The weather's out of order. People are out of order.
Oh, no.
The government is out of order. You know,
yeah, they want the one world order.
They want the one world order. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, Bishop. That's the truth. And so glory be to God. This is the one of, I enjoyed. I heard a lot of what Apostle was saying.
Oh, yeah.
And again, like I said, I was dozing off because I had been up all night. But glory be to God. We thank God for this great example of a leader that took the high road.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to see that those of us who do this believe life is too short to keep the score. We believe life is too short to worry about this one and that one and worry about everything. No, we don't worry. We have concerns. And God said he's our burden bearer. So God, God allowed Abraham to know what was going to go down. Isn't that a privilege?
Amen.
We have so many privileges with God, so much favor with God. And I'm boasting on God. Hallelujah. Because he's the one to boast on. Glory be to God. He will keep us safe, and he is our everything.
Yeah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
God is better at providing for us than we are for ourselves. He's better. So Lot's decision that he made, where he and his family, they experienced a bitter life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bitter life. And Abraham heard from the Lord and received a bountiful, exceedingly wonderful reward.
Oh,
because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. It was a great reward.
Hallelujah.
for Lot,
yes,
and also for Abraham, because he held his nephew dear to his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God loves what we love and hate. You know, we love what God loves, and God loves our family.
Yes.
He loves us, and he loves those that's connected to us. God loves us all the same.
Yes.
Amen. Even while we were yet in sin, God loved us. Glory be to God. So, Apostle, thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's getting late. There's so much more revelation knowledge to this story. But we're going to hand it back over to you, to Pastor Danny, to do the prayer of salvation. I think it's a little late for that now. I probably talked too long. But I didn't realize.
No, you're good. You're good. But Pastor, still got time to do the prayer of salvation. And I thank you so much, because you pull out some points that I was focusing on also. I'm going to do a part three of this, because there's so much that the Lord showed me in this word. Two things that you said that were so prevalent in the thing. See, there's something that happened to Lot and something that happened to Abraham. Abraham's eyes were opened. His heart was softened. Lot's eyes were closed. And his heart was hardened. He's only thinking about himself. But God saved Lot because of Abraham. Of Abraham. You know, Lot's heart was so hardened, and his eyes were so closed. He didn't even want to leave Sodom. You know that he didn't want to leave.
Because the angels
had to grab him by hand, and his wife, and his daughter. The son-in-law stayed in Sodom, but Lot didn't want to leave. You know, Lot would have died there, but God had a plan. God's going to honor his servant, Abraham, and he's going to save the nephew for Abraham's sake. He grabbed Lot's hand and took him out. But it's a lot inside there now. We're talking about the blinded eyes and hardened hearts. And there's so much
that we've
seen today. I got a lot to put in here in this. I can't bring the word tomorrow, so I don't know if you can. Because I got to go out tomorrow morning. I got to be out tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to go and look at a job.
That's fine, Apostle. We're actually in quarantine in this house. I'm stuck in one room now because
I was praying. You know that the first thing, Apostle, when you told me that, my heart just dropped to the floor. And I started praying in my spirit. And I was praying for you and Pastor James, Bishop James,
Lord.
You know. I praying for that because I don't want, that would kill me if either one or two of you all get contaminated. You know, it would, I don't know, man. I'm telling you. You don't know how that would mess with me, man. So this can't happen.
The Lord has blessed us. Praise God. And thank you for your prayers. We took the test this morning, you know, the quick test. We took that, and we're not infected. We're not infected, so we're careful. We're wearing our mask, and we're sanitizing and doing all of that. But, you know, we've been pretty much in the house since this COVID, since we've been here. We've been pretty much staying our distance since we've been here. You know, like we eat together, but we don't eat right next to each other. We're not in each other's face all day long. My daughter's gone all day, and her husband is gone all day, and we're in the house by ourselves, you know. And we don't go anywhere unless we have to. So I thank God that he's protecting us. This is God. I'm taking no credit, but I listen to the
That's
wisdom
right.
of God. We have to listen, and people don't want to listen. That's why so many is getting infected, and they don't have to. They didn't have to get infected. You know, if we would just listen and stop going here and stop going there, which my son-in-law have to go to work, you know, and he probably picked it up from there, or he had a wedding that he had to stand in that had been planned since last year, and they went to the wedding. They wanted me to go, and I said, no, as much as I love Mike, he's like a son, but I said, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to go to the
That's
wedding,
right.
but they had to stand in the wedding, and I understand, but some of his family members, some of Mike's family members are infected now because they had the wedding. And his brother and his children are infected. So we're going to keep them lifted up in prayer, asking God to heal them as well and keep them safe in the name of Jesus. And other people that went to that wedding got infected.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had shots because you couldn't go to the wedding without the card, you know, proving that you had your shots. But people must keep in mind that those shots does not prevent the disease from happening.
That's right.
It won't prevent
That's
it.
Right.
But they're claiming that you don't get as sick with it. Colin Powell died. He had his shots and his boosters. And he got the COVID and he died. You know, so some are dying that's got the shots. But we need God. Oh, God, do we need you to protect us.
That's right. That's right.
We need God to protect us. We are not safe without God from anything horrible. We are not safe. We're not safe at all. So we thank God for this word. I thank God I was available to do this and have the opportunity to worship God once again. Amen. Glory to God.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Come on, Bishop. Come on, Bishop. Mm-hmm.
I'm by myself, I'm here.
He's here. Thank you for your input.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank the Holy Spirit, not
thank
me.
Thank the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you have backslidden, come back home, prodigal sons and daughters. Do it now. Don't hesitate. Do not hesitate and say, I'm going to do it another day. Do it now. I'm asking you, please do it now, because just like in any God-given time, the Lord says, okay, come on, you go cross over today. It's time. You don't have time once you cross over. You don't have time. You're out of time. God continues. He's a God of many chances, and he continuously tries to get us to accept Jesus as our Savior.
Amen.
I urge you, strongly urge you, please, please accept Jesus today as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And it's so very, very easy. There's just a couple of things that you have to do. First of all, you have to believe. And in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says, but what does it say?
Mm-hmm.
The Word is near you. It's in your mouth.
That means you got to speak it out. The word that we preach, you have to speak it out. Jesus, you can say it in any way you want to say, but Jesus, please accept me. I want to be your servant for all eternity. I want to be with you, Jesus, and it's my time to cross over from this life, natural life, into the spiritual life. Because we never die. Really, spiritually, we're always alive. But let's put it like this. In our fleshly bodies, if you put your hand over, well, most people cook with electricity now, but even with electricity, if you put your hand on that glass top or open flame and you burn your hand, you know, it's, oh, it hurts so bad, and it continuously hurts for maybe days. Just imagine when your entire body burns continuously and you're constantly in pain and it's never going to stop. It's for all eternity. If you burn one little finger, you burn your hand, something, it's just a small digit, and that hurts for a couple of days, a few days, or maybe a week. Imagine for all eternity you're burning on fire. And even worse than that, the separation from God. You will never get to see God. Never, never, never. Never will you be with our Jesus if you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior. So I urge you strongly, do it today. Make the confession. God, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, and that whomever shall believe in him and shall not perish, his Son, that we may be free of sin. So if you make this confession, and the confession says that you believe that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. If you truly believe that in your heart, you truly believe it, repent now. Repent. And repentance is not returning to the way you previously lived or what you were doing or saying or whatever. Don't go back to that, because now your slate is clean. You don't have any sins if you make this confession, and then you go back to what you were doing before you made the confession, then your repentance is not good. You have to repent, and don't go back. Do not return. Okay. I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes. Yes, we do. But as soon as you realize you made a mistake, Jesus, forgive me. You know, I sin and I fall short of your glory. Now, pardon me, I'm so sorry. The enemy always tries this trick. I don't know what's wrong with him. Yeah, he's got to be insane, because I'm going to urge people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, no matter what the enemy tries. Amen. I rebuke his trial in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, your next step is to be baptized, as we do in the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. And Peter says, repent, every one of you. You see, the word repentance is there. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Separate yourself from this terrible worldly life. Receive Jesus, be baptized, and repent of your sins. And you shall be saved. Point blank, you shall be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts. God is telling you, you shall be saved. And if you decided and really truly believe that that Jesus died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. You are saved. Stay that way. Put on the whole armor of God, just who baptized in that manner. You go down into the baptismal pool you know, and it's called dying to sin and raise it. And when you come up, you rise with Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. Invite people to your baptism. Everybody that you can think of, invite them. If you got Facebook friends, get on Facebook and tell them I'm going to be baptized whatever day. Come to my baptism. And, you know, and really someone may decide, well, hey, if he can do it or she can do it, then I can do it. You'd be surprised what your ambassadorship starts when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And all you have to do is remind people of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And just do as just that, just what I did. Just invite you to receive the Lord as your Savior. Invite someone to receive the Lord as his Savior or her Savior. And because he's the Savior for all of us. You know, God reigns on the good, and if somebody is doing evil things and they repent, then God can forgive them. He will forgive them. You know, some people are determined to be like Satan. Don't hang with these people because, you know, they have a very, very traumatic ending here on this earth and start a very, very eternal, tremendous eternal separation from Jesus. And that's not what you want. That's not what any of us really want. God bless each and every one of you. Please wear your masks and use all preventive measures. Take the vitamins that are recommended. Tylenol, echinacea, zinc, multiple vitamins, you know, vitamin C, vitamin D, all the vitamins that are recommended. Take these vitamins for all you do. Keep the mask on. Don't be in crowds because right now we have a very, very good friend and she's contracted this because she just had to have her family over for Christmas dinner and now she has the virus and no telling whoever else has it. You know, and she don't go anywhere. So it had to be someone that brought it to her, you know, because they had to have this big gathering, her and her family. You know, she had to have a big gathering because they had to celebrate Christmas with the family, celebrate it over FaceTime, celebrate it over telephone if you all have FaceTime. You know, what you can do, say Merry Christmas, have another piece of turkey, you know, have another piece of ham. Have some COVID, you know, you're inviting people to give you a problem or you cause them a problem. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You may lose your life or a family member or a very close friend and because of foolish mistakes. Like, I just have to go to grandma and grandpa's house for Thanksgiving, all this foolish stuff. Every time they have a holiday, it peaks. It peaks because people get careless. Don't fall short of this. I urge you strongly, wear your mask. Take the vitamins. Do what you can. And most of all, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't hesitate and repent. Repent, repent, repent. God bless each and every one of you. God bless you and your family. Thank you for the prayers for our son, all our sons. We've got three of them. Actually, we got four because our son-in-law is our son too. You know, we don't have in-laws and stepbrothers and stepsisters. We have sisters and brothers and, you know, sons and daughters. Okay. Yeah. Amen. We all Christ's children. Yeah. So we're all brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you, and have a blessed day. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Apostle, thank you so much for coming up and picking up the slack for us and helping us out today. It was just great. I enjoyed it. But I want to tell you about we talked about the angels and so on and in the service. And it was so, you know, I had an encounter when I left here to take Samara to work. And when I leave my house and go out, there's like a treeway. You know, It's like a T. And when you come to that T, it's they don't have a stop like that. Well, I looked to the right, looked to the left, there was no car coming. One car went ahead, and there was no more car coming. Well, as I pull out into the T, there was a little white car. I didn't see the car. Somebody said, Grandpa! So I started moving to the left, you know, and there was no car there to my left. So when I looked back, the car that was to my right, if somebody didn't say Grandpa, but I know there was an angel there, because even though she said that car was coming up pretty fast, and I just pulled to the left, and she said, Grandpa, I ain't seen nothing. She said, Grandpa, you didn't see that car? I said, no, I didn't see no car. Where the car come from? But between me and the car was only 1 foot. 1 foot space. You hear what I tell you? I didn't touch it, and it didn't touch me. And you was talking with the angel. I said, well, I had an encounter with the angel today because I know that I should have told that car.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bitty car, you know. But I was thinking about that. You know, he protects us all the time. And, you know, and this story was so beautiful that when Abraham saw the three angels, Abraham left where he was and went to meet the angel, and he came back into a Sarah to start to get some flour and stuff together to make the angel the cake. And he got a little calf, and he took to his servant and said, well, dress the calf so he can feed the angels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When Lot met the two angels, what did he do? He left where he was, and he went to meet the angels. And he wanted to show them hospitality, just like his uncle showed he had an angel hospitality.
Yeah.
And you said that in the message. He was watching Abraham and taking on what Abraham was saying. But Lot still had a greedy spirit. Greed would mess with your relationship, with family relationship, friend relationship, any kind of relationship greed would mess with. There's so much in this message that the Lord showed me last night, you know, and you pull out some of it, but there's so much he showed me. Glory to God. We just got to keep our eyes open as God leads us. Allow God to show us the path to travel. You know what I'm saying? Allow him to give us what we desire. Not what we want, but what we desire, you know, and because that's all he's going to do. He's going to give you the desire of your heart. But so many people got so caught up. They get so caught up. And this is why that we have the difference in the body of Christ, that so many people get in there and they got this hunger and thirst for righteousness. But after they get established, they forget of the hunger and thirst for righteousness for Christ. They go off trying to be fit just like the world. Be fitting with the world. Let me just take on the characteristics of the world. Well, that is not our portion. That is not our portion. We will always have our eyes on Christ. You know, Abraham never deviated. And the thing what I like about Abraham was not poor. He was not poor. The Bible said that he had flock. He had silver and he had gold. The Bible said he was very rich. You know, Abraham could have stayed in the neighborhood, but what God saw in Abraham blessed me. Because God saw that Abraham was a righteous man, just like he saw Job. He saw Abraham was a righteous man. And I believe, it's not in the Bible, but I believe that Abraham was somehow was seeking God while his family members was worshiping all these other gods. I believe some way that Abraham was seeking God, the real God, the Jehovah God, the God that Moses served. I believe Abraham was seeking him because God pulled him out from among an idol worship family and said he's going to make him father of many nations. You understand? So God saw something in Abraham, in his lifestyle, that moved God's heart to want to draw him out of that family.
He was born for that. God had the plan. He had plans for us before we were born. We have plans that God had for our lives. And he was born for what God chose him to do. He was born for that. And you're right. Maybe God had taken over his heart before he even left there.
Yes.
Because that's what God does. You know, we have family members, and they're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
And but God pulled us out. God took us out. We heard God. We heard him because he opened our ears, and not everybody's ears get open at the same time. But we were no longer, we could see God now. So you're probably right, you know, you're probably right. He probably captured his heart while he was still there. But that was the plan for his life. You know, when we see things happening with us, God has already seen it and has already planned things for us, and we just got to keep walking in that path of righteousness, and we will meet our destiny. We will see what it is. We will see the things that God will keep his promise, and we will see the things that he's promised us he'll do with our lives, you know.
Okay.
But you're probably right, Apostle. You know, he probably had called him out before he even left.
Yes,
he probably had called him out in his heart. His heart was different, you know, just like with Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph was raised with those wicked brothers. He was
yes.
living among the wicked brothers, but it didn't taint his heart because God had captured his heart. And he was just
yes.
a young boy, but God captured him. And when God captured that heart and we allow God to take us over, that's something that God does. That is so miraculous. That is just so miraculous how you can be around some people and, you know, it doesn't taint you. And God pulls you out, and then you can go back around them, and you don't go over there doing what they do. You go, but you don't go doing what they do. Every now and then you meet a relative or a friend, you know, you might be invited to a family gathering, and they have people there that do things you don't do. But you don't say, oh, well, I guess I'll have a drink. Oh, well, I guess I'll, you know, do whatever. I guess I'll back it up. No, we just handle ourselves in a godly way. We sit back, we look, and we even pray, Apostle. We even pray. I remember I was at this place, and I didn't know what was going to be. I didn't know it was going to be that way. I didn't even know that a party was planned. It was just supposed to be me, myself, my husband, and another couple. And because they know I don't roll like that. But when I got there, I saw things that needed to be prayed for. And I just observed. I didn't take a drink. I didn't take a cigarette. I didn't smoke no weed. I didn't do none of that. I got out of there, but I prayed. Praying for them. God allowed me to see what was going on. You know, and give you people to pray for. So, yeah, I believe you're right, Apostle.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Apostle. Well, the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. You heard two preachers preach today, three preachers, and myself, the Apostle, and the Bishop. So, one word, one Lord, and one baptism, one Spirit. So, if you want to come
yes,
and encourage the word, add to the word,
yes,
what you hear, please. People are listening all over the world. Let's put our two cents in.
Thank you, Apostle, for praying for us. I tell you. I thank God.
You are welcome.
Thank God for the saints that are praying for us. It's so important.
Yes, yeah, thank God for you all for praying for us. No, you wouldn't know, girl. You wouldn't know when the God attacks that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some spiritual mm-hmm. attacks that are coming after me. At my ears, Apostle. At my ears. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
At my
mm-hmm.
ears,
mm-hmm.
these attacks are coming at me, man. You know? And I have to ask the Lord to shut them down.
Amen.
Shut them down, Paul.
And he will.
Shut them down.
And he will. He will. But, you know, our patience is tested. God tests us, and we'll be tested until we go home with the Lord. He wants to see our reaction, and he grows our faith. The more we go through and actually get through it with the help of the Lord, the greater our faith grows. So things are tests. God allows our patience to be tested. He knows where we need to grow. He knows. He knows where we need to go. Amen. So it comes. Oh, my God. It's so bad. But God is so good. Amen. God is so good.
Yes, yes.
And God is standing with us. Thank God that he is with us.
Yes.
I'm so glad you
can't do nothing without him.
You can't even be bad without him. You can't be bad without God. That's what David said, what I mean by being hell, you the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything without God seeing it.
Yes.
Without him, because he's everywhere. So, you know, we can't even be bad without him. He's going to be looking right at us.
Yes, he is.
Yes, amen. We just love the Lord. We just love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. He's so good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he's got your back, and you know it. That's the key. Apostle, when we know that God got us. Ain't no weapon formed against us gonna prosper at all. Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Well, Bishop, if nobody have anything to say, I don't want to stop you. We can go ahead and close out. Because Apostle, he dropped off. And Evangelist Brown was on. She dropped off. Brother Deacon is there. Sister Anna, she's there. But you can pray and close
thank
us out.
God. Thank God for everybody that was on the line.
Yeah, let me know what your topic would be, what your all topic would be for tomorrow when you get it, however you're going.
Okay.
Just keep me put. Let me know. And all is well with you all. I just know it in my spirit. And I just feel a sweet release in the spirit for you guys. That God
Amen.
Is keeping you safe. Keeping
Amen.
You safe for the work that you gotta do.
The Lord is
doing some things, and I feel in my spirit that I'll let you know, but I do believe that I'm going to be, if the Lord say keep saying the same, I will be in Louisiana in the summer. As soon as the weather break. When the weather break
Amen.
I will be there.
Yeah, and then this new virus will pass. This new virus will pass on.
I'm not worrying about it, Apostle. Once the weather break, I will come because I know only thing I have to do is worry about the plane. If the plane's all I worry about, cause it's a confined place. You know,
that's right.
And I have to be very conscious about the plane. You know,
yeah,
to have 300
yeah.
people in a plane. You know, old and young. You have to be very
That's
conscious
right.
about that.
Yeah, and it's coming
I'm
from
not
all
worried,
over.
But when I get in the open air, you know, when I get in the open air, I'm not worried because I know God is protecting me. And he's going to protect
Amen.
Me up there too. You know, glory to God.
Yes, he is.
So,
glory
yeah.
to God. Amen. That's right. That's right. But this one's going to pass over.
Oh, yeah.
By the summertime, it's not even going to be a factor.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, we don't worry. We don't worry about it because God is taking care of us, so we don't worry about it. But we do exercise wisdom, you know. And when God speaks to you about going somewhere, doing something, then you just follow through. He's in the plan. Amen. He's in the plan. Glory to God. So go ahead, Bishop, and close out as a possible. And we will. The Lord can send you beyond to me. Amen.
Is it still
on? It's still on unless you hung it up.
Yeah, it's still on.
Okay.
Yeah, but what happened was the screen went somewhere else.
Oh, yeah, that's
loud.
It doesn't have to be that.
No, but if you feel better knowing that it's still there. you know, that you can see it still on.
Okay.
Because at any point, these phones can go off.
Oh, they do their own thing now.
They sure do.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gathering of these eagles today.
Yes,
no chickens on this land, all eagles.
Amen.
The gathering of the new eaglets that received Jesus as the Lord and Savior today. Oh, praise you, Lord God. Oh, God, let us all rejoice and let no illness come to any of us or our families or friends. And we pray in the name of Jesus that everyone keep themselves safe. May the Lord be with us. May he lead us and guide us in all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to go now and get me a nice hot cup of tea. Glory to God. It's good for the body. And I will talk to you all later. Send me a text or however, so we know what you're teaching on, preaching on tomorrow. But you know, I'll be on the line. I'll have my computer with me. I have to meet this man. The deacon just called. Just sent me a text that this guy had somebody supposed to do some work for him, and something went wrong. So I have to go look at it. And then at the same time, I'm praying that it doesn't be a job that's compromised. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord will let me know if it's a job that's compromised, I'm not going to put my hand in the car. I don't want to lose again. You know, I don't want to lose again. So he said that everything is on the job, that the guy that was on the job, he had to get to go to the guy. I don't know if there's money problem or whatever it is, but I asked in the Lord to show me as I go look at it. Okay, so.
Amen.
That's what I want. I'm gonna look at it, and the Lord gonna give me a release on it, and so you don't want to lose anymore. All right, thank you so much. I love you guys, but God loves you more, and I will be listening to the words of our apostle. Pastor Bishop, I really appreciate what you all did today. It was so beautiful. It was so awesome. And it adds so much to the word, you know. And you know, that's what the Lord is all about. We are many members, but one body. And every member is so important to the body. It's so important. It's not a competition. It's unity.
That's right.
It's all about unity.
Yeah.
It's not about competing. When we operate in unity, and how you, oh, my Lord, I tell you, Apostle, my heart is just so full. It's like a rose garden. The fragrance in my heart now is so beautiful. The way you flowed in there after I cut out and took up that message, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful.
It was like you was
already preaching the message. Because everything that I had in my spirit, you was bringing out. You was pulling everything out. I said, God, I just thank you because we are so in sync with the Spirit. I was saying all the time, my granddaughter could talk. I said, man, she's saying everything I was saying. I said, my granddaughter, I had a phone on mute, but it was coming over the speaker in the car so we could hear, you know, because my phone is connected to my car. But I had the phone on mute, so. You will hear me talking. I said, man, everything I was thinking, everything in my spirit, she is saying the same thing. When you said grandpa, she had her headphones on, and she had her headphones on because she would take her headphones out. He said, when you said grandpa, I said, everything that pastor said is what I had in my spirit to say. I said, but God knows that's what he wanted, exactly what he wanted to say. Said, it's right on time. So I just want to let you know that I thank you, appreciate you, and I love you with the love of Christ. And no weapons formed against our relationship should prosper. I want you all to know that. Okay? So have a blessed day. Have some rest. Drink some hot tea. Do like me. Drink some hot tea. I'm going to get me a hot cup of tea right now.
Yeah.
And I will talk to you all later. God, give my love to Apostle Jefferson.
Love you all too.
Yeah.
All right.
Give my love to Pastor Jefferson. Let her know we are praying for her and her sister every day. And let her know that we miss her. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I will let her know. She's not answering the phone. I don't know. Something's going on with her phone.
The sister's house.
But anyway, I will let her know as soon as I get in touch with her. Okay.
All right. All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You so much for all you do. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're
welcome.